All right, well, as getting started, thank you for being here this morning. Again, it's our promotion Sunday. This is a day that we want to encourage and honor and recognize the kids that are in our Sunday school program, all the way from babies to seniors in high school. We want to encourage them. We want to promote them out of one class to the next. For those, we are going to give certificates here after worship. We're also, again, going to bring everybody up here. We're going to do that quickly so we can get to the baby shower afterwards. But thank you again for being here. Thank you for encouraging our kids. I do want to tell you two in particular we definitely need to encourage, and that is Ethan and Hayden. Ethan and Hayden, as you know, if you're here Wednesday night, Ethan was baptized right after our invitation. Wednesday night, really cool. His brother Caleb was able to FaceTime, even though he's many, many miles away in the Navy, was able to FaceTime and witness that. And then Hayden Brown, after Bible class that evening, wanted to be baptized as well. So we gained two brothers in Christ, and it was really, really cool. So a lot of awesome things happening here at Azalea City, and I'm excited about it. But I'm going to tell you why we definitely need to encourage them, because in life, obedience is immediate. Obedience is immediate. If you look in Matthew in chapter 4 and verses 18 through 22, Jesus goes and calls a couple fishermen. He calls Peter and he calls Andrew. He calls James and he calls John. And I believe there Peter and Andrew were they were casting nets into the sea. Jesus comes and calls them. They dropped their nets, immediately left to follow Jesus. James and John, while they were with their father Zebedee, and they were mending their nets, they were fixing their nets, Jesus comes and calls them to follow him. They left immediately. And what I really like about James and John and Zebedee is Zebedee, their own father, was sitting there with them. They got up and left, and he didn't run after and say, no, come back, what are you doing? Their father knew that them being with Jesus was where they needed to be. He knew that their obedience to Jesus Christ needed to be immediate. When we decide to follow Jesus, our obedience is absolutely immediate. I expect my children to obey me, right? You expect your children to obey you the first time, not the second or the third, the first time. But growth is gradual. See, Grayson's 7 months old. He's going to start walking, crawling before he starts walking. Correct? He's 7 months old and not crawling, so I don't know what his problem is. But that growth is gradual. Riley, when she's three now, she's like three going on 13 because she hangs out with the teenagers, and I'm like 30 going on 13 just because I'm me. At least what Ashley tells me. When she was younger, maybe a year and a half, 2 years old, and we would go out to a restaurant, she started getting to where she wanted to drink tea out of our glasses, correct? And so she'd be like, Mommy, I want tea. Daddy, I want your tea. And we're like, no, Riley, you don't really need a drink out of this 24-ounce cup. You'll get it all over you. I want tea. No, let's put it in your seat. No, I want tea out of your cup. And I'm sitting here, no, Riley, you can't. And Ashley's like, you're arguing with a 2-year-old, right? Quit. So there you go. 30 going on 13, 3 going on 13 as well. We knew at that point she couldn't drink a glass full of tea out of a 24-ounce cup. But now as she starts to grow, when we start to trust her, we'll slide our cup to her and let her drink some. Okay? Growth is gradual. When Jesus calls us to be obedient to Him, when we decide to take Him on in the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins, our obedience to Jesus Christ is absolutely immediate. But He knows that it's going to take baby steps, it's going to take growth, and that growth is going to be gradual. For us to get from where I am to where we want to be, it takes steps, it takes a forward motion, it takes us time. When Jesus called Abram in Genesis chapter 12, when God calls Abram, in the first few verses there, He tells him He wants him to lead his family. And then in verse 4, it says, so Abram went. It doesn't say, so Abram delayed. It says he went. He obeyed God immediately. But that growth is gradual. Matthew chapter 13, we see Jesus in the parable of the sower reference a farmer who goes out and sows seed. He sows four types of seeds. One, well, the same type of seed, but it falls into four areas. One being on the roadside, the other being among the rocky ground, the other among the thorns, and the fourth seed in the good dirt, in the good soil. That seed's the one we want to be. The fourth seed is what we want to be. Jesus Christ doesn't expect us to grow up as that seed is sown to be a perfect fruit-bearing plant in that moment. He understands that the growth is gradual. It takes time to grow. It takes time for that seed to make good contact with the soil. It takes time for that seed to germinate, to start to develop a root system, a foundation for it to start to break ground, for it to start to photosynthesize, to produce leaves, and then finally to produce fruit. And we know that the flowers come before the fruit, and then the fruit has the seed in it. And that, as Christians, we are supposed to be fruit-bearing, some at different rates, maybe 30, maybe 60, maybe 100, but we are supposed to be fruit-bearing plants. Our obedience is immediate, but our growth is gradual. When we come to Sunday school and we are starting to learn to obey Jesus Christ, that obedience is expected to be immediate, just like you would expect your kids to be obedient to you. Immediately, when they start to understand, I need you to be obedient to me because I'm looking out for your well-being. But understand that our growth, or their growth, is gradual. And Up, the movie, I'm not going to explain the movie to you because I don't have all that time. But the concept of Christianity is easy. The execution of it is what's difficult. So we need to be there for our kids. In this movie, this guy, I'll say it really quickly, this guy finds a girlfriend early in life. They go throughout life together. They get married, and they live together, live to an old age. They decide that they want their big adventures. They want to go to South America, to Paradise Falls. They want to live there because they think the animals will be awesome. They think the scenery will be awesome. Well, this guy, Carl Fredrickson, his wife, Ellie, passes away. Sad moment in the first 10, 15 minutes of the movie. Well, then he has this mind that eventually he's going to get to Paradise Falls, and he's going to take her picture with her and everything that they had, memories inside that house that they built together or rebuilt together, to Paradise Falls. Well, then in comes Russell, who is a very talkative kid. Ambitious, but talkative. Comes to his door, he's a wilderness explorer, he wants to be a senior wilderness explorer, and the only thing that's keeping him from doing that is getting that one last badge to help the elderly. And Carl's like, no, get away from me. Go find a snipe 2 blocks down the road. We know there's no such thing as a snipe in the movie, right? So he's going down the street looking for a snipe, and Carl's just like, got him out of my hair. Well, anyways, Russell tags along as the house floats away. You have to watch the movie. It's a really cool movie. And Carl says to Russell, because Russell, again being a talkative kid, says, hey, Russell, let's play a game. It's called See How Quiet You Can Be. And Russell says, cool! My mom loves that game. And me, being a father of a 3-year-old with twin nieces that are 4 years old, you can understand that when we get together sometimes, I've come up with this great game that I used to have to play as a kid. It's called the rock game. Hey, let's try to be a rock. And they're like, yeah, that'd be great. Okay, remember, rocks don't move, rocks don't talk, rocks don't do anything. You sit and don't do anything. Okay? We understand kids can get on our nerves. Adults, we make 35,000 conscious decisions every single day. A kid will make 3,000 conscious decisions every day. And in those decisions, probably 95% of them as a kid will get on your nerves. Right? So we like playing the rock game. We like to see who can be quiet the longest. Then in a conversation between Russell and Carl while they were walking on the way to Paradise Falls, while they still had the house, I don't know how he got those million balloons through that chimney. But anyways, that was Disney. Make your dreams come true. Conversation between Russell and Carl while they were walking. Russell, I'm tired. My knee hurts. Carl, which knee? Russell, my elbow hurts and I have to go to the bathroom. Carl, I asked you about 5 minutes ago if you had to go to the bathroom. Russell, I didn't have to go then. Kids can be frustrating, right? Us as adults, we're like, yeah, don't do that. Kids nowadays, teenagers, I picked on teenagers in a lesson a few weeks ago, maybe in that lesson you saw at the very beginning. As teenagers nowadays, the 11th commandment in our household was, thou shalt not get up and go to the bathroom during a worship service. That's changed now. Kids will get up and go to the bathroom. Adults will get up and go to the bathroom. We can't sit still anymore. So Carl was frustrated with Russell. We understand how kids can be. But Jesus does too, and he says, your obedience to me has to be immediate, and I understand that your growth is going to be gradual. We are commanded to go and do just as Jesus did. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, and what you have heard from me, Paul says, in the presence of many witnesses, telling this to Timothy, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. I have a baton. I'm going to pass this out. Talk about this every year to our seniors and to our youth group, but mainly to our seniors. It has this verse on it. Because every single one of us in life, we carry a baton. Paul says, you remember what I taught you. The faithful sayings that I taught you that came from Jesus Christ. Remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, imitate me as I'm imitating or trying to imitate Jesus Christ. Paul's passing his baton to Timothy. He says, you run the race. You carry this baton. You teach it to faithful men. You pass it on to them so they can go and teach others also. Somebody taught our family members Jesus Christ, that which eventually made it down the line to us. And we, it's our turn to carry the baton, to pass it on to our kids. And that's what Sunday school is about. That's what being a parent is all about. Understanding that obedience is immediate, but our growth as our kids is gradual. Because our obedience as Christians is immediate, but our growth is gradual. Sometimes you will never know the value of a moment until it becomes a memory. With God on our side, we have no place to go but up. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for the privilege that we have to come and worship you and to honor you and glorify your name, Father. But thank you also for the opportunity we have to really encourage and recognize our young people. God, thank you so much for them who are the immediate church, but also the future leaders in our church. And God, I pray that we'll do that in a way that's well-pleasing to you. Thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the hope of eternal life. And Father, I pray that you will continue to bless our growth as people and bless our growth as a congregation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Justin. I'll be using Steve's mic. I don't know if that makes a difference or not. Does it? Okay. It's great to see you, Justin. Appreciate him very much. He's worked really hard on today. He's worked really hard to not only help today go well, but he's worked really hard, he and Ashley and so many others, to make sure our children are being taught what you're teaching them at home. They're reinstilling that. And I'm going to tell you some things that are going to go back to Matthew 13 in my portion here. But before we do that, you can go ahead and turn back there. We've got a very special young man here today. For the very first time, we have Miles West here. And Miles is pretty tiny, but he's going to be brought up by his daddy. And I'm going to show Miles off to everybody. This is not going well, Miles. Can you see him? He didn't want to leave. But isn't he sweet? For Miles to be so many few weeks old, he's a big boy. He's growing. Before he really gets cranked up, you better take him.
Yeah,
bless him. He's beautiful. Thank you. Why do we do that? We do that because it's very important for us to know these children are here. Let me tell you, in order to raise children, yes, God gave me my children. But I want you to know there are a lot of people that impact my children. And for that, I am very appreciative. I just want you to know my children do not have a choice. They love to come, but they do not have a choice, right? I remember somebody teaching at chapel at Mobile Christian one time. And he was sitting out there and it was very serious and really kind of threw us all off. He said he had a drug problem. He's telling this in front of everybody sitting there. I'm like, whoa, and he's kind of the guy that you're like, well, I could see it, you know. But anyhow, he's talking about he was drugged to church. He was drugged to Sunday school. He was drugged every time the doors were open. And that my children may have that problem, but that's not a problem. Because let me tell you, the Sunday school material that our elders have put others in charge of putting before them is working. It is working very much, and it is great. And we need to be here because we need help in raising children and teaching them and reinforcing what we're trying to do at home. But in Matthew 13, there's some soil. There's some seed. There's some good soil, there's some bad soil. Justin already told you, we need to be that good soil. We need to provide that atmosphere where those children can grow. But I want you to know, this is a lesson not just for children, it's for all of us. Because we can help in this. We need to understand, and I'm going to give you three things quickly today. that I believe will help you and it will help me if we will study these. The first thing we need to understand is we need to get these three items in our inventory. Okay? We need to possess these. The first thing is we need to get some scarecrows. Okay? What's a scarecrow's job? A scarecrow is to sit out in a field that's trying to grow and produce and cultivate and have this wonderful crop, but it's trying to keep those birds from coming in and eating those seeds. Well, what's the first type of soil? It's going to fall there by the wayside, if you will. Those birds are going to come. It's going to be scattered, and they're going to eat it. There are people that will plant. And now, hunters love to have turkeys on their property, okay? But there will be people who plant for their deer, and sometimes the turkey will come and eat it before the deer can get there, before it can grow. You know, that's a problem that's kind of a catch-22. Sometimes we want to be able to see birds and be able to enjoy birds, but folks, if they're coming and taking away, if the birds of life are coming and taking away the important nutrients our children need, then we need to scatter them. It's okay to do that, by the way. Because the last time we checked, mama and daddy is mama and daddy first. Never did it say, fathers, you are required to be your children's BFF. What that means is best friend forever, okay? Never does it say that in the Bible. Now listen, I have a friendship with my father, but I still respect him. I still will do for him if he needs me. I will still say yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Those are my parents. They will always be my parents. And I want you to know that today you are your children's parents. Now listen, they may not be under your roof anymore, but we have a responsibility to help and encourage and do it in love. Now, if my children are around things and people and everything else that they shouldn't, then I have a responsibility to ward that off. Do I need to do it in love? You better believe it. But I need to have scarecrows in my life. Maybe I need to be that scarecrow. I can be scary. You can ask my children. One asked the other day, and they always like, is Daddy going to embarrass us today? They're getting to that age, you know. But one asked the other day, why does Daddy yell all the time? First of all, I don't think I yell all the time, okay? But I do probably have a few tone of voice issues, and sometimes, yes, I do yell. I do. I get upset. I get aggravated. But here's what they will never go to bed having to doubt. They know that, number one, I love God, and number two, I love them. There is never going to be a doubt in that. There may be times that I don't like what they do, and I'm certain there are times they don't like what I do. But I gotta be a scarecrow. Sometimes I gotta get rid of the things that are eating what they need to be able to grow. You know, unfortunately though, sometimes we are the monsters. I've said this before, but we have locks on our doors. How many times we heard back in the old days we didn't even lock our doors? Well then we started locking them. Well then we thought, well that's not enough, so we gotta deadbolt them. Sometimes the people have chained them. Well, that's not enough, so we get a house alarm. And now that's not enough, so we go and invest in some artillery. Okay? And we have locks, and we have deadbolts, and we have chains, and we have alarms, and we have guns, and we have everything we need, but sometimes we've locked in the most dangerous portion to our families. We allow things into our homes, into our living rooms, into our lives, into our devices that are eating the seeds. And we need to get rid of that. God gave me my children. I know it. You know it. 7 years we prayed for Bo together. God gave us our children just like He gave you your children. He gave Michelle and I our children, but He wants our children back. Now, in order to do that, I need help. I need the church. I need grandparents. I need the aunts and uncles that we call aunts and uncles that we're just related through the blood of Jesus. We need all of that. We need the real aunts and uncles. We need everybody. But we all need to be pointed in the right direction. Number two, if you look at Matthew 13, yeah, there were the birds. We need to scare them away. But the second thing you need to protect yourself and your children with is sunscreen. I understand that sunscreen is a real thing and we need to really protect our children with it and ourselves with it. But did you see what it said? It said some of them fell on the rocky places, the sun come out, and it burned them up. Well, folks, there are things in our children's lives that are trying to burn them up. And his name happens to be Satan. Satan is lying in the grass, and he's longing to pounce on our children, on our families. And let me tell you, he's not just started. Way back when God formed the very first family, Satan was lying in the trenches. He was lying in the bushes. He was slithering his way into their lives. He slithered his way into Adam and Eve's lives. And I don't know how many years passed by when they were a family of four. They may have been a family of a lot more, but when we know they were a family of four, one of them killed the other. Okay? And it took a long time, I believe, for men to start calling on the name of the Lord. And it started by him slithering his way into their lives at the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What are we doing to protect our children from those fiery darts? Satan is shooting that fire at us. He is shooting those fiery darts at us. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, take up the shield of faith. What are we doing to help our children, help our families, keep the devil away? We've got to take that job serious. Part of that responsibility is bringing them to Sunday school. We are not the only church in town that has issues with about 100 more people. By the way, I'm glad we got everybody here. That we're growing. God is blessing us. And I don't mean to just be party pooper. But here's the point. We're not the only church in the world or in town that has about 100 more come to worship than they do Sunday school. Sometimes there's legitimate reasons. Okay? Sometimes people can't get here. Sometimes people may be working. Sometimes you may have been sick that morning. It may happen occasionally. But let me just remind you of this. The more we can put our children in around good people and in good places, the more we better do it. There's no doubt we need to be here. That helps put that sunscreen on them. Let me ask you this. If you're going to let your children go to a friend's house and they're going to have a swimming party, it was going to start at 9 a.m. They were going to come in, I don't know, they're going to eat lunch outside. They were going to come in around 3. First thing you're going to tell them, you know what you're going to tell them? Hey, here's the sunscreen. Nah. Just let them go. Let them get cooked. You're going to let that happen? No. You would never do that. You're not going to let your child burn up. Well, why in the world would we let them burn up spiritually? Those are questions we have to answer. Yeah, we need to get some scarecrows in our lives. We need to have some sunscreen. But the final thing we need to have in our possession, according to that, is some Roundup. I'm a good weed man. Okay? The way I pull weeds is I spray them with Roundup. Because Roundup will kill them. Justin knows technically why. Justin told me it's because it cuts off them being able to open their stoma, and be able to partake in photosynthesis. You should do a research project on that. But that makes sense. Whatever their stoma is, they can't open it because we've stunted it with that Roundup, okay? But did you see what the final point was? You're going to scatter that seed, and it's going to fall, and it's going to be choked out by the thorns, by the weeds. At our house, we have a spot in our yard. Again, we didn't build our house, so the people before us planted to a certain area where there's grass. I'm proud of them for that. But then beyond that, some woods. And when we got there, it was so thick and grown up. I have spent time going in and cutting down. But the reason it was so thick and grown up is these vines of thorns, huge thorns, had just entwined amongst it all, and you just had to come in and cut it down. And then I had to ask Justin, what's the most serious stuff besides Spike 80? By the way, we know what Spike 80 will do to an oak tree. But the point of it is, besides all that, we could go and spray. What can I? And he told me, and so I did, and it's starting to die out, and I've cleared it out, and I can see the sunshine come in. Are we going to let our children, hey, go play with rattlesnakes, kids. Go play with wolves, kids. Go play with lions and bears and tigers. No! Then why are we going to let them be around things that is even more dangerous to their soul? We need to round some of that stuff up. We need to get the weeds out. We need to get the junk out. We need to have an environment where those children can grow. Where we can grow. Where we can be the children of God that God wants us to be. Justin mentioned the movie Up. He talked to you about the story. There's a quote in the story that I want to close with today. It says, I may not have gone where I intended to go, but I think I've ended up where I needed to be. Maybe in your life you can see that if you'd have had a Sunday school, if you'd have had a youth minister, if you'd have had this, if you'd have had that, maybe you wouldn't have taken such a path, a rocky path. Now listen, I'm glad you've ended up where you needed to be. But we don't want our children to experience that. I've talked to you, and some of the greatest soul winners we have here spent a time in their life when they were away from the Lord. Some of the greatest soul winners we have at this congregation will tell you, not proudly, but to teach a lesson, I spent too much of my life away from the Lord. Now, if we spend 1 minute away, that's too much. But some spent years. You don't want that for your children. Some of you today, maybe you've been away. Maybe you haven't been what you needed to be. Maybe instead of being the scarecrow or the sunscreen or the Roundup, you've been the birds, the sunlight, and the thorns and the weeds. Well, here's the beauty of it. Maybe you've wandered away. Maybe you've taken an adventure. Maybe your life has slipped away. But you've ended up here today. And because of you ending up here, there's a chance. There's hope. There's an opportunity. Today, if you've been a parent that's away, the greatest thing you can do for your children is to say, right now, I'm coming home. The greatest thing you could do for your children, the greatest thing you could do for us, the greatest thing you could do for yourself is to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be immersed in water for the remission of your sins. I don't know where you are. I know you're here physically. Spiritually, I don't know where you are. But here's what I do know. God does. And if it's time to come home, then why would we delay that? Today is going to be a day where we celebrate our children moving up. You know, we celebrate a lot of things in life. We celebrate birthdays. We celebrate anniversaries. We celebrate good grades on a report card, home runs in a ball game, whatever. We could go on and on. But the greatest thing we can celebrate is the salvation of our children. Today, if there is a child who is of the age of accountability, if there is an adult, if you're ready, if you need to respond, come right now together. We stand and sing.